Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Hello, dear one. This is Anthony Sluzes, and you're listening to Your Place of Grace. Today, we conclude our series entitled, Only a Heartbeat Away. This is part 12, and as I said, the finale of this series on death, heaven, and hell. We've talked a lot during the course of this series about what happens after this life on earth. As we bring this teaching series to a close, I want to encourage and exhort you to live in light of eternity. Now, just think about it. In view of what happens after life, what happens on earth then takes on more urgency. The years that we have on this tiny dot of a planet can never, ever be recovered. And the way we use our short years on earth has profound implications for the afterlife. So we must therefore use these fast passing years with purpose, with determination, resolve. God is the one who created time. When God created the earth and put human beings on it, he set boundaries for day and night. And he divided the year into seasons, the Bible says. And these are handles by which we humans can orient ourselves as time passes. As the days continually pass, rapidly, so seasons eventually pass. And as seasons pass, so years eventually pass. And as years pass, we eventually die and enter into eternity. Today we live in time, but for eternity. Think about this. Eternity is a huge concept. We read in the pages of the Bible that God has put eternity into man's heart. As one Christian leader put it, and I quote, "Within each of us is an inner sense or feeling that death is not the end, but that there must be something beyond the grave, even if we deny or ignore it. The inner yearning is still there, and it is universal." Where did it come from? The Bible says God placed it within us. End quote. So though we live in a world of time, we have intimations of eternity in our hearts. We just instinctively think of forever. We seem to intrinsically realize that beyond this life lies the possibility of a shoreless ocean of time. It's wondrous to even think about it, amen? One Christian wrote that this sense of eternity in the human heart makes us heaven-bent, and that our hearts have an inner tilt upward, and that the grain of our souls leans heavenward. Those are beautiful quotes. I love those. From the first book in the Bible to the last, we read of great men and women of God who demonstrated that eternity permeated their hearts. Think about it. We read of people like Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and David, each yearning to live with God in eternity. David puts it this way, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" That's from Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. And David exalted. He said, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's from Psalm 23. Moses is another great example, as we see in Hebrews chapter 11. Let me read that passage for you. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Hallelujah. It's interesting that the writer of Hebrews said Moses considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, because Moses lived at least 1,500 years before Jesus. It is difficult to ascertain how much Moses knew about Christ, but our text clearly indicates that Moses forsook Egypt because he had a personal faith in Christ. Wow. God had apparently revealed to him that the things invisible to the natural eye. Moses became aware of another king, another kingdom, and a better reward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dear one, each of us, every one of us, has this innate desire to live as long as possible. And that's natural. But the actual timing of our deaths is in the hands of our good God. He has allotted a certain amount of time on earth for each of us. As Job affirmed to God, man's days are determined, and the number of his months is with you, and you have appointed his limits that he cannot pass. That's Job 14, verse 5. Scripture reveals that God himself made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. We see that in Acts 17. The backdrop of this New Testament affirmation seems to be an Old Testament psalm, Psalm 139, verse 16, that says, In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. Hallelujah. Of course, we Christians never need to fear the day death will come. Our God, our Father, who loves us infinitely, is in charge of the timing of our rendezvous with death. And loved one, we can trust him completely. With the psalmist, we can restfully affirm this. My times are in your hand. We can count on the fact that we are immortal up until the time we have accomplished all that God intends for us to accomplish. Once that work is done, God calls us home. In previous lessons during this series of podcasts, we've noted that some people experience what many call an untimely death. You hear that term a lot. When a young person dies in a car wreck, for example, we say that this person's death was untimely. From a scriptural perspective, however, there are no untimely deaths, for all deaths occur according to God's sovereign timing. As we see in Isaiah 46, Acts 2, Ephesians 1, we can we can take great comfort in this truth. For when a Christian loved one dies, we can rest assured that he or she has died according to God's precise, perfect, divine timing. And yet we still mourn for them. But our grief is tempered by our awareness of God's loving oversight of all earthly affairs. The knowledge we have gained about heaven throughout these series of podcasts should not be an end in itself. No, rather it should influence the way we live today and how we use our time in this present moment. These swiftly moving years here on earth have a destiny that can never be repeated. We are at our best when we use our available time the way God wants us to. As some of these following scriptures can attest, Ephesians 5:15-17, look carefully on how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Colossians 4:5 says, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Psalm 90:12, teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Galatians 6:10 says, so then we have, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. And then finally, Psalm 39:4, O Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Let's pray, dear one. Abba, Father, precious Father God, thank you so much for the gift of time. We regret those many occasions when we've used time wastefully or unwisely. Oh, may it never happen again. Please move our hearts to resolve to use our time wisely. And may the realities of heaven motivate each and every one of us to use every moment on earth in a Christ-honoring way. With each day that passes, Lord, we are one day closer to being with you in heaven. We are so thankful for the heavenly destiny that awaits us. We praise you, O Lord God Almighty. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I pray that you were blessed by this 12-part series that we've been doing now for 6 weeks now on the subject of death, heaven, and hell. Don't just take my word for it because I tell you something. Look up the scripture references for yourself and study them out for yourself, dear one. Get to know the heart of God through His Word. Make time for His Word and then live it out in your own life. Thank you so much once again for listening to Your Place of Grace. And I would ask you to please check us out on our website, yourplaceofgrace.com. We have sermon videos, audios, my books. We have lots of really cool resources available to you. And if you have any questions about our ministry, please do check out the testimonials page of the website, where lots of pastors from across America have commented on how we've been a blessing to their church, to their congregations. If you have any questions about the Bible or about our ministry, or if you have prayer requests, submit them to me at our website, yourplaceofgrace.com. Click on the contact tab, and I'll be happy to pray with you, to answer questions that you have to the best of my ability, according to the Word. and pastors, contact me. I'd love to come and minister at your church. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you, and may he always have a smiling countenance toward you. And may the Lord grant you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory. May he give you laughter and unconditional love within your marriage, family, and home. And may God grant you great favor everywhere you step foot, all the days of your very long life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Sluzes. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.